Okay, I don't know about you, I think for a lot of people this has been one of their toughest years. Who would rank this as one of their toughest years they've had? Just, yeah, right. Yeah, I think it's been a pretty tough year for people. I think the world's changed. Certainly a different place than it was a year ago, isn't it? We think about things a lot differently. We have a different language that we use a lot of the time that we never used. I think the pressures of life certainly are built for people. I feel like there's less hope and there's more doom and gloom. Do you feel that? There's more. The news feels negative. I mean, it's always been negative, but it's been a lot more negative lately. It feels like, man, you know, the world's coming to an end. I think the mental effects of COVID-19, not just on everybody, including Christians, has been quite huge. It stopped us thinking a little bit about the future. One of my favorite scriptures is about the future. And now I've gone and forgot the scripture. That was really clever, wasn't it? But I think if we're not thinking about the future, we start constrict our lives a little bit and we just become like we're paddling a little bit. I've been talking to a lot of pastors. And do you know what's happening in the church a lot? There's a lot of people that have just fallen off. There's a lot of people that are not as regular in church as they were before COVID. A lot of people pulling out. People all across the country, and I think Aucklanders, they felt it probably more so because of the double sort of lockdown, that they've got more people pulling out of stuff. We can't serve in church anymore. We just can't. And I'm going, wow, what is happening here? Why is that happening? Why are people going, oh, I just can't be bothered as much? People seem restless and dissatisfied with life. They just feel empty. I put down here, people are struggling about their future. They're becoming disheartened about their financial position. there seems to be what I would call a wider spiritual difference between some people. I feel that some people are really dry and they're trying to, in a sense, just not committing to their Christian walk. They've had enough. Whereas there's others that I feel are more fired up than they've ever been in their life. They're more tuned in. They're more aware that this is a spiritual battle and they're more stirred up about what's happening. It's a little bit like the 10 bridesmaids. It feels like the 5 that have all got that stores, man, when this is coming, they've got all excited and they go, man, come on, bring it on. And then there's a whole lot that are going, oh no, this is dreary, this is hard going. Where are you? Which camp are you in? Some Christians seem dry, barren, discouraged, hopeless, and struggling in their faith, while others seem recharged, more focused, in fight mode, hearing from God, more committed, more determined than they've ever been. Why the difference? Why is it different? My conclusion that I've come to is that I think it's all about how often you're filled with the Holy Spirit. For me, in the last 6 weeks, since my little thing, I've stopped drinking coffees and teas and only drinking water. Only drinking water. And I kept asking God, why do I only want to drink water? And I felt God gave me a revelation around water. So I'm going to talk about that this morning. So if you've got your Bible, why don't you turn to John 7. John 7. Okay, verse 37. On the last day, the climax of the festival. The festival here was, I think it was the Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, where they all lived in tents for 7 days. 7 days in the Old Testament. I think in the New Testament they talk about there being an 8th day. Okay, but here we go. On the last day of the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me." 2 quick things. Normally, rabbis did not stand. They sat and talked. I thought after packing all the boxes yesterday and moving all the boxes, I might have had to sit today on a stool. But so the Jewish rabbis would not stand and they would not shout. So this was a real emphasis when Jesus stood up in this. Actually, let me just explain to you about this festival. This festival, what they used to do was they would go to, all the priests would get jars and they would go to the pool of Siloam. I don't know if I pronounce it right. And they'd pull water out of it, okay, every day. It's part of the ritual of this festival. And they would walk to the temple through Jerusalem. And everybody would cheer and get all excited. And they'd get to the altar and they'd pour the water out. Okay, they pull water out. So it was a very, very exciting sort of thing. Big festival of water. But, I think this is later, that was a festival that was in Leviticus, and they'd do that for seven days. But on the eighth day, they would actually go to this, to the thing, and they would go to the fountain, but they wouldn't draw any water out. And they would walk silently all the way to the temple. And it was to remind them of all the people that died in the wilderness, who lost hope and basically left God. And they would stand then at the altar. They would do one other thing as well. They would go around the altar seven times to remind people of Jericho. So right in this point, Jesus is watching everybody and looking at them. And he can see that they're doing the ritual. They're coming to church, but they're dry, they're weary, they're dead. And he yells out this: anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said this, living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. Let's just pray. Father, your Holy Spirit's here right now. Lord, we want the living water. We want it to flow through our lives, Lord. Lord, there's many of us, we're actually still thirsty. We're weary, we're dry. Lord, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would begin to speak to our hearts and our minds. That, Lord, you would come into our lives, that you would refresh us spiritually this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the years, I think I've observed that there are a lot of Christians that I look at and I look at them and I think that they're actually dry. I think that they haven't got all that there is in the Christian walk. And you can see it because they begin looking for life in other things. They begin to just drop off in their relationship with God. This is a little picture that a pastor said. I read about a pastor, and he said in his early days, when he was very young, he was still adjusting to the demands that fell upon one that was in pastoral ministry. And he found himself neglecting his study in order to just do all these things. And one Sunday evening, following the worship service, a dear lady, a person who loved and cared for her pastor, said to him, "Pastor, I can hear the dipper banging against the bottom of the bucket." And he went, "Yeah. Do you know, I think some of us are banging against the bottom of the bucket. We're going, where is this life? Where is this Christian life that God called us to? Where is it? What's happened to it?" And I go, we're dry. We need the living Holy Spirit. We need the living water. But the thing is that as Pentecostal, we talk a lot about being filled, which I think is important. But to me, it's about increasing the flow. It's increasing the flow in your life. How much of the Holy Spirit is flowing through you? The whole world system is based on the flow of water. Our whole system. You go study water. The most important thing that we have is water. And as I talk about water, I'm going to talk a little bit about nature and water. But as I talk about the water, I want you to think Holy Spirit. in your life spiritually. The Holy Spirit is likened often to living water as a parallel to what water is like in our natural realm. The world system is based on the flow of water. Every plant, living animal needs water to flow through them to make them a living thing. No water. Dries up water, it's dead. Water is what flows through, even in our bodies. The Bible mentions water. Did you know that water is mentioned in verse 2? In Genesis 1:2, listen to this. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. I don't know about you, I sort of think, well, that's, why do they put that in there? In Genesis 1:6, then God said, let the space between the waters. Let there be space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth. There's a natural and there's a spiritual. And that is what happened. God made the space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky, and evening passed and morning came, marking the second day. Water is essential to life. No water, no life. No Holy Spirit, no life. Our world runs on water. Just ask anybody from Auckland. They have water problems out there, don't they? So let me just read you a little bit about water. Water is essential simply because it's a liquid at Earth-like temperatures. Because it flows, water provides an efficient way to transfer substances from cells to the cell environment. But the other part of the equation is that water can carry things into and out of cells. It has to do with its unique chemical configuration. The humble water molecule is made up of two hydrogen atoms bonded to an oxygen atom. I can't remember. I took out all the rest of the science stuff because it was a bit over my head. Here we go. But the way they're bonded together makes water this wonderful universal solvent, meaning that almost every substance can dissolve in water. Water, with its amazing dissolving properties, is the perfect medium for transmitting substances such as phosphates, calcium, ions into and out of a cell. Just think about that. The water flows through our bodies carrying nutrition and also washing out all the garbage in our system. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be flowing through us. It's supposed to be flowing through us. And to the extent it's flowing through you is how much of the living water is happening in your life. Our lives need to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. It's about flow. Water is an essential nutrient and plays a key role in the human body. We can survive up to several days without food, but only a few days without water. Think about that. We need water constantly going into our body. Every system in the body, from cells and tissues, vital organs, requires water to function. Did you know that water carries nutrients to all cells in our body and oxygen to our brain? Water allows the body to absorb and assimilate minerals, vitamins, amino acids, glucose, and other substances. Water flushes out toxins and waste. Water helps regulate your body temperature. Water helps lubricate, is a lubricant for joints and muscles. When consuming the recommended amount of water, it contributes to the maintenance of normal physical functions as well as the maintenance of normal cognitive functions. Your brain is affected by how much water you have. That's why when you get dehydrated out in the desert, you start going nutty. Do you know, some of us, as our Christian walk, we're getting dehydrated in our spiritual mind. And we're going nutty. Moreover, water contributes to maintaining the body's normal thermoregulation. Did you know water makes up 60% of an adult's body weight? From 31% in bones to 83% in lungs. Did you know that the human body cannot store water? Did you know that? Every day we are constantly losing water through breathing, sweating, through release of all sorts of other stuff, ensuring that ensuring that lots of fluids are replenished in a timely manner and that our bodies are correctly hydrated is essential for the good health and for the body to operate. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Can you see the parallel? Some of us are dry because we've stopped the flow. In Ezekiel 47, 1 to 2, now, what happens and what's going to happen to you? You think about water and the Holy Spirit. You start reading the Bible, you just see it come out everywhere. Wells, streams, rivers. The blood in our lives is the basis of it is water. Oil is water in its basis. Everything flows from the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you've not got the Holy Spirit flowing through your life, you're thirsty. You're dry. In Ezekiel 47, in my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing from the east beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gate and led me around to the entrance, eastern entrance. There I could see water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. Okay, so this is a picture of Ezekiel saw, and you can just of the temple and the flowing of the water, the Holy Spirit flowing out of God's place of meeting, the water in our lives flowing out from our meeting with God. It flows out of us. Ezekiel 47:9, there will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its water will come fresh. Life flourish wherever the water flows. There is a flow that happens, and it talks about waters to the ankles, knees, hips, over your head. And my question is, how much water and how much of the Holy Spirit is flowing through you? Or are you dry?
Wow.
It's about flow.
Yeah.
Everything's about flow.
Yeah.
You know, the whole world's moving all the time. There is a flow. You know, even yourself has to keep moving. It's a part of our thing, moving. It's a flow. Read up about the Amazon River that starts from a whole lot of trickles together that forms, and you know, underneath the snow and the ice, it comes through, and this river over time just gets so huge that it goes out into the salt of the ocean, and 60 miles out you can still get fresh water out of there because of the force of that water coming through. That's the picture of the church is supposed to be. All of us together adding in. It's the flow in us. Our flow makes a difference. Your flow makes a difference. When you come into church on a Sunday and you're dry, you're not adding to the flow. Yes, you get blessed. We get the rain of the Holy Spirit and we get blessed in that. But we need to be adding to it. We need to be letting the flow come more and more. My timer says, time to stop. And I'm only halfway through. Living water, it's got to be continually refreshing, life-giving. That's you and I. We need to be life-giving. But we get dry in our spirit. We've got nothing to give but dead stuff. Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit absorbs the word when you're having your quiet times, and it makes it flow and it makes it a nutrient to your spiritual body. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin and flushes out a sin of our lives. It's a flow in our lives. It's like the water cycle flow. You know, you think about the water cycle flow. Look, it's the same in the spiritual. There is a spiritual water cycle flow. The rain of the Spirit, but the Spirit comes into us. Our worship is like, it sends up, what's that? It's just one of those words that I always struggle with. So, but it's our praise, it's our worship, it's our obedience to God. It's all flowing through us. And if we stop things, we just start to slow down the flow in our lives. And our mind goes, oh, look, you're too busy for church. You're too busy for this. You're too busy for that. Let's just, oh, you're stressed. And we stop being in a place where we keep getting filled.
Yeah.
And we get drier. And the flow's there, but it's in such a small quantity. By halfway through the week, we're at our end. Now, it's everything. It's everything. It's your quiet time with God. That increases the flow of the Holy Spirit in your tongue. Speaking in tongues is all about the flow. It's not a one-off thing. It's something that you do because it helps the Spirit flow through you. It's about the flow. What's your flow like? E.M. Bounds wrote this statement regarding the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This unction comes to the preacher not in the study, but in the closet. It's heaven's distillation in answer to prayer. Distillation, yeah. It's the sweetest exaltation of the Holy Spirit. He talked about prayer being something that that flowed through him. We all need more flow. Every one of us needs more flow. We've got to do things that encourage the flow. That's why Jesus is saying on this last day, man, you need the Spirit of God. Don't try going out and doing life without the Holy Spirit in your life. Musicians, come. Anyone who is thirsty may come. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. Rivers of living water will flow from their heart. So what blocks the flow? You can regulate the flow. You can regulate the flow of Leo's got a thing for regulating flow of water. Oh, but he's a plumber. Regulating, you know, it's a regulator. But I think sometimes we regulate the flow in our life. Oh, you know, I don't want to get too carried away. Mate, I'm not going to jump in church. Goodness me, that's not me. That's far too much. Man, I'm not really going to sing. Oh, I'm not going to serve in church, man. I don't need to do that. No. We've got to get in the flow and make it flow through us. We all need it in the flow. Sin blocks the flow. Disobedience stops the flow. If you get out of the will of the God, I think it affects the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because you're sitting there going, I know I'm here, but I shouldn't be here. I should be over there. Get in the flow. We get cynical. Cynicism starts blocking the flow. Cynicism, bitterness gets into the flow of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit's flowing, but all sorts of things can get to dissolve in it in our lives. And it becomes polluted. Full of cynicism, bitterness, negativity. We stop believing. You increase the flow by increasing your belief. You increase the flow by being thankful and grateful. And loving your God, it just increases. So are you decreasing or are you increasing? Is there more of the Holy Spirit flowing through you? I just feel we've got too many dehydrated Christians. They're dry. Yes, you're saved, but you're going through the motions. There's no flow of the Holy Spirit in your life. No one can drink from you. No one gets encouraged around you because you're dry. Got a blockage. We need to get rid of the blockage. You know, Jesus' first miracle was to turn water into wine. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. And we've got 5 minutes, and I'd just like you to stand where you are. You can come to the altar if you want, whatever you need. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, I go, you need it. It's a part of what helps it flow through your life. If you've not been speaking in tongues, if you haven't spoken in tongues in the last week, 2 weeks, and you've got the gift of the Holy Spirit in your tongue, you need to get the flow going. If you haven't read your Bible, you need to get the flow going. If you're dry, go spend some time worshiping. Get the flow. Turn off the jolly radio, the talkback, and put on some worship in your car. Worship, man, it's one of the biggest things to help the flow. If the singers would come, just get in the flow. You might need to go stand somewhere. You might need to just get yourself in your own space. You might need to just talk to God and say, man, God, I know, that's it. I need more of the flow. I've stopped all these things and it's stopping the flow of my life. It's not carrying the nutrients and the energy into my life. Lord, we sing, come Holy Spirit. Come into our lives. Minister, we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.